You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Now, I know some of you struggle and you smile and you tell us, because I know some of you in here, you know, you're kind of like the sad clown. And if there's a smile on your face, it's only there trying to fool the public. But when it comes down to fooling God, now, honey, that's quite a different subject. So don't let your sad expression give us the wrong impression. Deep down, there's gladness. And see, you have to let it out. You can tell when praise is bubbling. You can tell. It makes you wiggle in your seat. All of a sudden, you got to go to bathroom. Praise pushes against your bladder. It's saying, let me out. Let me out. And you look around right now at the deep people. Look at them. They're just... You need to get up and go find somebody that's squiggling around. Because in about 5 minutes, they ain't going to be able to hold it in. And the only reason, or as my friends the Rugrats say, the onlyest reason that they haven't let it out is because they scared of the ushers. The ushers at Bethel will wrap you up like King Tut. And there's one sitting over there with the branding iron. As soon as they tie you, say, how long? 10 seconds. Glory. But I think there's a time in your life when praise must be released. And it's when these tribes are coming against you. Maybe they won't attack you in church because, like any coward, they don't come around when you're surrounded by friends and family. But it's when you're by yourself that you must learn the discipline of giving God a party. It's when the enemy is coming in your sleep that you must snap yourself alive and say, devil, you're a liar. I'm not afraid. Glory to God. They came out and cried about not being able to go in, but they made God so angry. He said, I had enough. He said, you're not going in. So you were prophetic. You're not going in. So they wandered in the wilderness. For 40 years. 40 years. 40 is God's number of judgment. 40 is God's number of judgment. Anytime you see a 40 in Scripture, when you read the context, there's some act or aspect of judgment. Something is being judged. They wallowed and walked around that wilderness in a circle. You know how embarrassing it is to look at the land you should be in and keep walking by? If you see me walking down the street and I start to cry each time we meet, walk on by. Now, you sang that song. Well, what's Jeremiah 32:13? Oh, you know walk on by, but you don't know Jeremiah 32:13. But can you imagine the disappointment? There's God's blessing, but I can't go in. Not because of the devil. He's not powerful enough. But I can't go in because my thinking has been warped by being in one place too long. Now again, let me preface this with those of you that are married, this is not your excuse to leave. Ooh, I'm so glad Pastor said that. You look at your spouse and say, after today, I've been with you too long. That's why I haven't had a meal in 20 years. Boy, the amen stopped. Boy, did you hear? It was so loud, it was deafening. The men are quietly smiling.
Say it, Pastor. I'm with you, but I just can't say it.
No, this is not an excuse for you. You made that bed, you got to lay in it until one or the other is graveyard dead. Not dead to me. They dead to me. I love them, but I ain't in love with them. No. But you will find that your life will suffer because of antiquated thinking. I am convinced that 75% of the things we do in church come from old ways of thinking and are not biblically supported. We have constructed a church that Jesus does not recognize. We have created a level of holiness that does not get us closer to God, but it enables people to control our lives. Why? Because that has been a story that's been perpetuated down through the years. We find ourselves struggling against the change of God, who has said, you've been here long enough. Bethel, we've been worshiping in this old appliance store long enough. It's time to build our own church. And churches have been getting mortgages and being subjected to ungodly institutions. It's time for somebody to stand up and say, God, you built your tabernacle without a mortgage, and you built every temple without a mortgage, and we are going to believe you're going to build our church without a mortgage, and this is what I need you to see. So get ready to jump, but don't jump, because the ushers are sitting around like Secret Service. You don't even know who they are. But listen, I love my ushers. They know I'm just kidding. But listen carefully. And I need you to see this. Now, you got to get past that old bondage. The old bondage says, yeah, listen to the pastor. He talking about building a building. And he know good and well we don't have that kind of money. You don't get it. Listen carefully. If God told us to build it without a mortgage, don't shout yet. Just listen, because you don't know what you're shouting for. If God told us to build it, and I said yes, that means he's going to give you the money. Now, hold on before you get too happy. And when God starts giving, he don't know how to stop. So that means he's going to give you what's needed to build it and then keep giving to you because your mind has been changed. So tell somebody, get ready for your blessing. In order for us to build it, you've got to give. And in order for you to give, God's got to give it to you. So he's got to open up windows and pour you out. See, for so many years, you let the devil tell you that when you give, you're going to be broke. I want to change that mindset. When you give, listen, whoa. God said, I will supply what you need. But if you don't give, you don't create a need. So what's he going to supply? If you holding on to it, how's he going to give you more? You can't pull on God unless you need him. My godson said something to me one time. He said he had to buy some books for school. And the books were kind of expensive. And he called me a couple days later. He said, Dad, I need so and so and such a money. I said, I gave you your monthly support. I said, why didn't you call me before you purchased those books? Listen to this. He said, I needed the books. I bought the books because I knew you would give it back. Now, wait a minute. I was upset that he purchased the books until he made that statement at the end. He pulled on what he knew. Take a moment. Talk amongst yourselves. Wait till it gets through. Somebody said, why did you give that in the offering? Because I knew God would give it back. But I also, I also knew that he was going to give it back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So therefore, I'm not in the deficit. I'm in the plus column. Hey! Hallelujah. But what happens? The mindset has to change. Now, we Hamites don't have that mindset. We have a mindset of hoard and hold in case I need it. We call it rainy day. That's your mindset. But here's God's mindset. I can't give it till you do. Your giving starts me. When you walk past a hungry person sitting on the street corner, the Bible said that could be an angel. God could be sitting in heaven saying, I'm going to give $1 million to Aaron, and he don't know it. And because he's pleased me, I'm going to put $1 million in his life. And the Holy Spirit says, Father, how do you want to test him? See, I'm going to put a guy on the corner. He likes to go to Dunkin' Donuts, so I'm going to put somebody right at Dunkin' Donuts who looks bad, smells bad, and ask him for a cup of coffee. Now, if he gives him that cup of coffee, if he buys it and asks, what else do you want? Then I'll give him that money. But if he turns away and says, no, I ain't got it, then I'm keeping my money. So he looks at an angel and says, all right, I need you to be undercover. Dress like a bum and go sit down there at the Dunkin' Donuts. And I need you to stink a little. So grab some horse dung, that kind that I told Ezekiel to eat, and put it all over you and sit there. And Aaron walks in, and he's all excited about the day and life, and he's rushing in to get his coffee. And that man says, sir, can you get me a cup of coffee? I ain't got no time for no coffee. You need to go get a job. And the Lord says, we'll come back in 5 years. Think. How many people has God put in your life asking you for what you did not want to give, and you did not give it, and you are still in the same position? Be careful not to entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unawares. Why? Because our mindset is still in the world. We're trapped. And this is why it's so difficult to get new spiritual truths through our mind. All right, let me get to this passage so we can go. In Mark chapter 4. I'm sorry. Yeah, Mark 4. Mark 4. Jesus is teaching a tremendous parable that he even says when he gives the interpretation. He said, unless you understand this parable, you will not understand any. It is the most dynamic parable that Jesus ever taught, because it speaks to the change of mind through the reception of the Word of God. Now, again, we process this down the narrow parameters of Pentecostalism when we need to open up our minds to a more biblical concept, because most of what Pentecostal people believe is not biblical. See, Pentecostal people will tell you can lose your salvation. There's nowhere in the Bible that says you can lose it. The real question is, did you ever have it? But that's another sermon that we're not going into right now, because we never get out. And I know you want to go down to Golden Corral. When he teaches this, it's about four different hearts. And when the Bible uses the word heart, the Greek word is cardia, and we know that means where we get the word cardiac for heart, but that's not what he's talking about. Listen, hear me carefully. Prior to the Renaissance in the 16th century, prior to the Renaissance, everyone believed that the earth was the center of the universe. Why? Because that's where we lived. And wherever you are will be the thing that determines your perspective. Copernicus decides he's going to do some research. And through his scientific data, he discovers that the Earth is not the center of the universe. The sun is. And the Earth, like so many other planets, rotate around the center. Now you understand, the center of your life is not your heart. Your heart is a muscle, like your bicep, your tricep, your trapezius, your quads, and your hamstrings. All your heart is designed to do is pump blood through 60,000 miles of capillaries, veins, and arteries. That's all the heart has to do. It takes 4.3 seconds to get all the blood through 60,000 miles. Up one side, oxygen deprived, through the heart, through the arteries and the aortas, over to the other side, oxygenated. Once that happens, it provides the nourishment for the rest of your body functions to work. The center of your life is your mind. Your mind. So the devil is after your mind. He ain't after your heart. Watch this. They can transfer one heart to another person, but they can't transfer the mind. If you take a murderer and you put a new heart in a murderer, they will still murder. Why? Because the murder doesn't come from the heart. It comes from the mind. Hence, we have people like me, forensic psychologists, who deal with the mind. We don't try to get people, well, it's hard for me because as a pastor, I'm trying to get you to change your heart. But as a forensic psychologist, I'm trying to get you to change your mind. And so we confront psychopaths, sociopaths. We confront individuals who have mental ailments. Why? Because the devil comes after your mind. That's what he wants. But watch this. So does God. Now, I don't understand why so many references in the Bible have been translated heart, cardia. Because he says, out of the heart of man proceeds thoughts. You know your heart don't think. If it did, you wouldn't have gotten to the relationships that you did. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he says, we cast down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against our knowledge of God. We start thinking differently. In 1 Corinthians 13, he said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, and that caused me to understand as a child and to speak like a child. So the emphasis is on the mind. So where have we been long enough? In infantile thinking. There are some of us that are 30 years old that still think like children. How does that look? Well, a 30-year-old person, a 40-year-old person becomes angry when someone doesn't like them. That's a child's expression. We don't like you. Why? What do I have to change? You're 40 years old. I don't like you. That's one less bell to answer. One less egg to fry. Hey, I can write you off the Christmas list. Why? Because you're an adult. You process things differently. You come up with alternatives. You are not held in line by a set pattern because you understand that as an adult, there are a myriad of thoughts that go through your mind, and nothing is etched in stone that it's not biblical. I don't have to do everything the same way. I can do new things. And maybe you don't like me. Why is that the end of your world? Pastor, I don't like you. Fine. Fine. Don't like me. But wait till you go to the hospital. Can Pastor come see me? I don't think so. Call the people you like. No, I would never do that. Yeah, right. And so Jesus is addressing what? Four minds. Four minds that hear the same word, but it's processed through different minds. Sister Lambert and I come from different lifestyles. She was an only child. I had siblings and an extremely close family. For us, cousins and everybody, we were all the same. In a family setting such as that one, you learn to share, either by will or force. And so when I wanted to look good at school, I wore my brother's clothes. I didn't ask him. I just took them. Why? He's my brother. It's in the same room. It's in the closet. Just take it. I mean, what's he going to do? Disown me? You do that. You share. Our mother would call the house at 4 in the morning when it was snowing and say, "It's snowing outside." Like, I'm not going to know when I look. So she would just call and never say, "Are you awake? I'm sorry to call so early." Just answer the phone and do it. Families give you the ability to share, to get on each other's nerves, to harass, to have moments when you don't even speak to each other. But where are you going to go? You share DNA. Functions will bring you together. You sitting way at the other end of the table. I ain't talking. What'd they do? I don't know. It was back in 1962 on a Saturday afternoon at 5 o'clock. They owe me $5.
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, "Time to Go and to My Blessing," or the program number 07219A. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can now be viewed nationally on the Impact Network on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m., Comcast Channel 294. Be sure to visit BethelDeliverance.org to find out when to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcast in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at BethelDeliverance.org. Follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
Join your Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches family as we celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ at BDIFC Holy Convocation 2019, Wednesday, August 21st through Friday, August 23rd and Sunday, August 25th. Each night we'll be blessed with a word from God brought forth by powerful ministers of the gospel. Special guest speakers for our Holy Convocation are Bishop David G. Evans of Bethany Baptist Church on Wednesday, August 21st, Bishop Paul S. Morton of Changing a Generation FGBC on Thursday, August 22nd, and Pastor Paul Shepherd of Destiny Christian Fellowship on Friday, August 23rd. Each service will be held at the Hilton Philadelphia City Ave at 7 p.m. nightly. The address is 4200 City Ave, Philadelphia, PA 19131. Sunday, August 25th will be our official night, in which the presiding bishop of Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches, Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr., will deliver an impactful message from the Lord. The service begins at 6 p.m. in the main sanctuary of Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Sheldon Avenue, Winco, Pennsylvania, 19095. It's the BDIFC Holy Convocation, Wednesday, August 21st through Friday, August 23rd, and Sunday, August 25th. Come out and join your church family for these empowering nights of praise, healing, and fellowship.